You're listening to The Tales We Tell, a podcast about spooky stories, unsolved mysteries, and local lore. And today, it's a Tell We Tale with your host, Katie.
And I'm Hannah.
Yay! We haven't had one of these in a long time.
I know! Sorry, everyone.
So, yeah, sorry we're interrupting a two-parter. Could not have timed this more poorly, probably. But Hannah decided to get sick and have a nice little upper respiratory issue and lose her voice. You know, the moneymaker.
You know. The moneymaker. To be fair, this is much better than it was when I texted you and your husband.
Yeah, but not as good as yesterday you had promise, but
yeah, yesterday I sounded a lot better. And then Jarek woke up with something.
I had, my throat was giving me a little bit of issue yesterday evening after the party, and I was like, dang it, and then Jarek. But it was a little, like, more of a little bit of a soreness, and it only lasted for a short time, so.
And mine really, my throat has not been sore. Truly my only symptoms are, like,
it's just laryngitis.
And coughing and hoarseness. So you guys won't have to listen to this. Katie's going to tell a story and I get to listen.
And interject and ask questions and go, oh, no, 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 no.
I know. I'm excited. I have no idea. You gave me like a small hint yesterday.
Well, I don't have any announcements. So if you're good, I'm just going to dive right in.
Okay.
Gosh, I'm so out of practice, I feel like. All right. So, I think we've talked about the Lady in White before.
Uh-huh.
So, today I'm going to introduce the Red Lady, or the Lady in Red.
Ooh. Okay.
So, like the Lady in White, the Red Lady is actually more of like an archetype than an actual specific person. However, obviously any sightings of a Lady in Red or Red Lady is, you know, based on an individual person or people, whatever. So, Red Ladies are often attributed to jilted lovers, a woman of vanity, or even, our topic for today, a prostitute killed in a fit of passion.
Oh no! There's a lot of those!
In any case, the figure is seen as a victim of objectification.
Okay.
So, that's, you know, there. A lady in red is often reported wearing a blood-red dress. And despite the rather grim circumstances of their death, they actually tend to be friendly entities.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. I like that.
So that was more of just like a kind of, again, like it's not ladies in red. There's a lot more instances of red ladies out there that are not just prostitutes, obviously. Right. Like I said, it's sometimes jilted lovers or just vain people.
Right.
And so today's topic is actually about, specifically, ghostly prostitutes.
Oh.
Mostly from the Wild West. So this was actually part of a listener suggestion.
Okay.
That, you know, I was like, oh, because they had suggested, this was a, like over a year ago now, I think, that someone suggested this particular city, I think it was Virginia City, as one of the most haunted cities or ghost towns.
Virginia City?
Yeah. In Nevada.
Oh. I was like, Virginia is a state.
So, well, kind of like there's Oklahoma City and Kansas City.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah.
Well, Kansas City is in Missouri.
Yeah.
So, why can't Nevada have really Virginia City?
I constantly forget that Kansas City is in Missouri. Mm-hmm. And truly, I forget what state it's in all the time.
I am able to remember it mostly because of the musical Oklahoma.
What?
There's a line in one of the songs about, well, I was off in Kansas City, Missouri.
So, okay, this is what throws me off. And this isn't going to mean anything to any of our listeners. Our friends, who are Kansas City Chiefs fans, are they from Missouri?
They're from Kansas.
Okay, that's what threw me off, because I was like, they're from Kansas.
Yeah.
But they're Kansas City fans. And I was like, but... Yeah. Okay. That threw me for a while, because I was like, well, no. Okay. All right.
So
I'm going to blame them every time I get confused about that. I'm sorry. We're not talking about Kansas City.
No. At least, no, not through all this episode.
I'm sure there have been murdered prostitutes in Kansas City.
Oh, for sure.
For sure.
I mean, prostitutes built the Wild West.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just the gold rush. And actually, there was a Jeopardy question recently about which state refused to join the Union or the United States.
Texas.
Without the right to vote for women.
Oh.
Do you know what state that was? Wyoming.
Kansas.
It was Wyoming.
Okay. Oh, Wyoming.
Adam Ruins Everything has a great episode on the Wild West and about how not only were women allowed to vote, mm-hmm. I mean, women really helped build up the Wild West. And yeah, a lot of it was through prostitution, but they also, I mean, some women held political office in the West. Like, it was legit.
Nice.
So, and it's been a while since I've seen it, so I can't tell even more information because I'm like, I only very lightly remember all the details, so I can't share them and without being fact-checked. Anywho, let's get to our story.
Okay, yeah, sorry.
So, we're going to go on a little travel around the Wild West.
Okay.
We're going to start in Nevada.
Okay.
And let's go over to Goldfield, Nevada.
Okay.
Where in 1908, the Goldfield Hotel was built over a mine shaft.
Ooh, that sounds dangerous.
Yes, exactly. I know you're thinking, like, okay, this is a tale of someone getting stuck and dying in a mine crack or in a mine, or again, underground, like yep. another previous episode.
Yep, hate that.
Nope.
Okay. Well, based on what you, on the intro, I would, yeah. I would guess otherwise.
I mean, you never, well, hold up.
Oh, no.
Not entirely.
Oh, no.
So, the Goldfield Hotel, which still remains today, though it's closed, I think they just open for tours and whatnot, specifically ghost tours, because it is home to, shall we say, resentful spirits.
Oh.
The most famous of whom is Miss Elizabeth and her infant child.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Katie.
Yep, nope. This one.
Dead baby.
So,
can't get on me for dead babies. The first one you do in a long time is a dead baby.
It's just one piece of one story. And also, there's, I think in most of these, there's little to no evidence that, like, some of these people may not have even existed. Mm-hmm. Some of them I know for sure did. But, you know, there's one or two that we're not even positive. Anyway, before I ruin my own story with conjecture. So, Miss Elizabeth was a prostitute working in the hotel, and she was having an affair with the hotel's owner, Mr. George Wingfield.
Okay.
And
he was having an affair.
Yeah.
I was going to say.
I mean, they were in a torrid love affair.
She's not having an affair. She's just doing her job.
Yeah.
Okay.
But she got pregnant.
Okay.
Whoopsie.
As one does.
So, in order to avoid scandal, George chained Elizabeth to the radiator in room 109.
Oh.
So, not only was George, like, a millionaire and, like, owned lots of properties and banks and stuff, he was also, like, in the political scene, too.
Uh-huh.
So, originally he was paying Elizabeth off, and then, you know, some sources say she started demanding that he do his fatherly duty and, like, recognize the child. Others were saying that, like, he just got paranoid that she was going to oust him and there would be a huge scandal.
What year was this?
This was, I believe, in 1914.
Wow. That's going to be a stupid question. Was, like, abortion not an option?
I mean, abortion's pretty much always been technically an option.
Yeah.
Because coat hangers existed in this time. Yeah, okay.
I should rephrase. Was safe abortion an option?
Legally, absolutely not.
Right.
But I believe there were still some doctors, even in that time, who would perform, and it's still, like, not perfectly safe.
Right.
But you could find one.
Right, okay. And that's
I think it was hard to find, and I think also maybe she didn't want to.
Right, I was going to say, not to say that she wanted that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, anyway, as this rich dude in the political scene, a bastard child with a prostitute was a no-go.
Yeah, so obviously chain her to a radiator.
Yeah. So she was chained to the radiator in room 109, and, you know, he would bring her food and water, and, you know, some say that she died in childbirth.
Oh.
Well, I think most think that she gave birth to the child, and then he later murdered her.
Oh.
But I honestly don't know why he waited to allow her to give birth to the child.
Yeah.
Because he reportedly threw the baby down a mineshaft.
Oh, no! No! Katie!
Yeah.
Jeez.
So...
That's so much more complicated than he needed to make it. Couldn't he put her on a train and send her somewhere?
Or if he was going to kill her at any point, why not kill her before she gave
birth? Before the baby's born, yeah. You're wasting a lot of time.
And a lot of effort, too. But don't worry. Jeez. Good old George got his in the end, too.
Good.
Okay. Because...
He also fell down the mineshaft.
Not quite.
Okay.
However, 12 of his banks did close.
Oh, great.
And, like, this huge financial hoopla actually almost led to the, like, complete demise of the entire economic situation of the state of Nevada.
Oh, well.
Not just in this area. But, like, the entire state was almost economically screwed because of this guy.
I mean, I don't want other people to suffer for his mistakes, but...
No.
I do love that he, you know, suffered financially. I love seeing the rich.
Oh, yeah, no. So, like, a political scandal, you know, a child with a prostitute really wouldn't have mattered because he went down in the end anyway.
That's true.
Unfortunately, he did not just go down a mine shaft.
Did not go down a mine shaft, although he should have.
So, people have reported sightings of Miss Elizabeth wandering the halls looking for her child. Visitors also report hearing her call out for the child, and also a baby's cries can be heard from the mine shafts below the hotel. And specifically, room 109 is always cold, no matter what you turn the heat up to.
Well, yeah, I'm kind of surprised that people are still allowed to... Well, I guess no one's staying in there, but...
Yeah.
What was his explanation? So he owned the hotel, right? Mm-hmm. Did he have an explanation for why no one could rent 109? He was just like...
Not that I know of. I haven't seen any sources that... this is much more folklore.
Yeah.
But it does have, you know, historical, you know, like... You can check that, yes, George Wingfield was an owner of this hotel at this time. But I don't know if there's records to prove that Miss Elizabeth was there, et cetera, et cetera. So this is, again, mostly folklore,
but still,
some is probably more factual than others. Mm-hmm. And at this point, a lot of it is just,
that's so sad,
oral history.
But also, like, now I'm on board. I'm on the side of her ghost.
Yeah.
When you said, like, not happy ghosts, I'm like, yeah. She should be mad at everyone, probably. Well,
there are a few other spirits also there. Miss Elizabeth is just the most famous one.
Okay, great.
So, there were two suicides.
Mm.
And there's also a ghost that'll appear in the dining room that they just call the Stabber.
Oh, no.
Because he'll attack ghosts with a large kitchen knife.
He'll attack ghosts?
He'll visitors.
Oh, okay. I was like, wow, what?
He might attack the other ghosts, we don't know.
Attack his own kind.
There's also a few children spirits who like to tap guests on their shoulders and, like, run away and giggle.
That's sweet.
And last but not least, good old George himself is still there. Geez. If the lingering scent of cigars and fresh ash is it believed.
Gross.
Last fun fact about the Goldfield Hotel. In 2017, a man drove from the East Coast, went to the hotel, stood outside, shot himself.
Oh, gosh.
And on him, they found a note saying that he wanted to become one of the ghosts to join the Goldfield Hotel.
Oh, no. That's not something we would encourage.
No. Like, we want you to get engrossed in the stories, but not actually try to, like, become part of the story.
Yeah. Also, that's not... Of all of the ghosts that I know of, I mean, first of all, George, no, I wouldn't, I mean, like, If I could become a ghost and then, like, bully him, sure, that might be worth it. But, like, I don't know if I want to hang out with Elizabeth and, like, be part of her sad
sphere. Well, there's also no guarantee. Like, maybe he didn't want to become one of the ghosts to join them so much as just be a ghost there himself.
Yeah.
Because, like, we don't know if they're actually able to interact or not.
That's true. He's probably, you know, he's watching a lot of Hill House where, like, the rules are you have to be, like, on the property when you die for your spirit to stay there.
That was Murder House from American Horror Story.
It was also Hill House.
Oh, okay.
But I think that's, like, the rules of haunted houses is you have to be physically there when you die. But, that's a long drive, too, from the East Coast to Nevada.
And it doesn't specify where in the East Coast. I'm sure, like, that you could find much more information on, probably.
But still, anywhere on the East Coast. I mean, that's a long drive. Okay, sorry.
So, our next stop in Nevada, this is Virginia City. We're going over to the Silver Queen Hotel.
Okay.
And the Silver Queen, I think this was the listener suggestion, is well-known locale for spooky stories and spectral sightings.
Ooh, spectral sightings.
So Virginia City was, you guessed it, a mining town. Mm. And the hotel was built in the 1800s.
Okay.
And while guests can have unexplained experiences all throughout the hotel, room 11 is the most haunted, if the hundreds of reports are to be believed.
Room 11.
A prostitute named Miss Rosie committed suicide in room 11, and though her spirit isn't exactly vengeful, it seems, she most certainly makes her presence known, heard, and felt. So, specifically, there is inexplicable whispering in otherwise empty halls at night. Doors slamming by themselves, footsteps on the balcony, items mysteriously falling from the shelves, as well as even growling can be experienced by the guests staying in room 11.
No.
Many of whom who have apparently fled in the night.
Yes, I would. Those are the worst. Are they sure it's not just a demon? Have they brought a priest in there to double check? Because why would Rosie be growling at people?
Again, well, it says there's, unexplained things throughout the other parts of the hotel. There might have been other issues that have happened. You know, like, there might be other suicides or murders that happened in the hotel, and maybe that's the growling.
I'm sorry.
But Miss Rosie was the most famous. So this is actually from a TripAdvisor review.
Oh,
like,
I love
so basically a testimonial of someone who stayed there. So this couple stayed at the Silver Queen and reported hearing, like, a family, you know, at least one adult and some kids talking in the hall. Like, young kids, old enough to have conversations with them, but not teenagers or whatever.
Right.
And so they, you know, went to their room, they were trying to take a nap, and they heard this family out in the hall talking. Oh, they also heard footsteps on the hardwood floors, except, like, every inch of the hotel is carpeted, and there are no hardwood floors.
Ooh.
And you can very much tell the difference between footsteps on hardwood versus carpet.
Yeah.
So that was a big, like, for them.
And I'm assuming they went and checked the hallway, and there was not a family out there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, voices, door noises, like, slamming, you know, jingling, whatever, and footsteps kept them awake that night until around 3:30 a.m. And every time they heard a noise, they checked the hallways, and they were always empty.
Jeez.
Before finally falling asleep, they recall hearing boots stomping down the hallway, a bang on the door, and the knob jiggling.
No.
And when they checked out the next day, the receptionist confirmed that they were the only ones on their floor.
Oh, no.
And the only child that had been in the hotel was an infant, like, 1 year old. So clearly not one of a couple of chilled child voices they heard outside their door.
What are the chances that it's, like, the hotel staff that's just, like, playing pranks on people?
No idea. I cannot attest. I mean, I would be fine. Like, hey, listeners, have you ever worked in a hotel that was haunted?
Yes, please tell us. Also, that just sounds so terrifying because, one, if you're staying at a hotel, especially, I don't know, Nevada just seems... It just seems like, you know, you don't have a lot of options because it's very, you know, vast. But, like, if you're staying in a hotel, it's not like you can just leave mm-hmm. and go somewhere else easily. And so, especially if it's like 2 a.m. and you're having like rattling at your door. I mean, I would be so terrified.
Well, a lot of like in the research of these, like the common theme over and over again is people who would be staying in the hotel have fled during the night.
Oh,
like, apparently,
to go where?
It's modern day. Yeah, you know, these aren't like small mining communities anymore. These are actual towns and cities now. So there's a Days Inn.
Yeah,
somewhere.
I was gonna say it'd be smart to set up like a Days Inn or something like right next door.
Yeah,
and they should have like on their thing, like when you're scared at the queen, whatever.
Silver Queen.
Silver Queen. Like when the ghost runs you out of the Silver Queen, we've got a room for you at the Days Inn. We're open late.
So, one more in Nevada. Mm. The Mizpah Hotel was constructed in 1907.
Okay.
Where Miss Evelyn May Johnson lived and worked as a prostitute using the name Rose.
Okay, we got another Rose.
So in 1914, a jealous former lover walked in on her while she was entertaining another man.
Yeah, rude.
The jealous ex chased her into the hallway where he eventually caught up to her, strangled her, and then stabbed her repeatedly
until she died.
Yeah.
Dude.
So sightings of Rose have been reported in the hallways, the elevator, and of course, room 504, which is where she lived.
Jeez.
And it's in room 504 where her presence is strongest. Oftentimes, guests will find a single pearl on the nightstand or a pillow, a reminder that Rose is still around.
Ooh, that's creepy. Because
she used to wear, like, a string of pearls. And I started reading today when I was, you know, just going through a little bit more research. One woman gave a testimonial that it wasn't that she was possessed by Rose's spirit, but she was, like, overtaken. Like, she was still aware of what was going on, but it was like she was seeing the world not through her own eyes. Right. And, like, she was trying to tell the people that she was with, I think they were on a tour, like, what's going on, and, like, they couldn't hear her, or she couldn't hear them. And actually, when I was also doing this, I got Rose, mixed up with Miss Rosie at the Silver Queen, because the couple from that TripAdvisor review that I said, their last thing they heard was boots stomping, a bang on the door, and the doorknob jingling. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's absolutely what Rose probably heard before her angry, jealous ex-lover came in.
Right.
Two different prostitutes.
Two different, yeah.
Then, I mean, but there's no telling. Probably Rose did hear boots stomping down the hall.
Yeah.
And then somebody jiggling on the door, slamming on it before he burst in on her and the other dude.
Absolutely. If there's a traumatic way, or like, I mean, no, we talk about like energies staying because of trauma. Like,
and I think some ghosts get stuck in a loop kind of a thing. So they replay the hours, minutes, moments up to their death or, you know.
I hope that's not what Rose is having to do. I hope she's reliving good times.
Well, who knows?
I don't know.
So, popping over to Arizona.
Okay.
We're going to go to Jerome and see Miss Sammy Dean.
Sammy Dean.
So, yet another mining town.
Gosh. These miners really needed the entertainment.
Yeah. And I'll get into that, too, when I get to another section. So, I mean, like I said, the Wild West was built by miners and prostitutes.
Nice.
So, one such lady of the night was the strikingly beautiful Miss Sammy Dean.
Nice.
Sammy was originally from Texas, but after moving around and some, you know, like, lost years, I say that because there's, you know, some missing records of here, there, or whatever. And this is one of the more fact-based stories, Like, we have, like, actual records about Sammy Dean. She settled in Jerome. So, like I said, there's missing records, including her marriage to and possible divorce from George Dean. And it's believed that she lived in Colorado for a little time, and that's where she first became a prostitute before then moving to Jerome. She kept her husband's name. I think she said she was divorced when she moved to Jerome. Whether she was or not, we don't really know. Okay. We don't know how.
But George did not come with her.
No.
Okay.
And then on July 10th, 1931, Sammy's body was found in her room in an area of town known as Husband's Alley.
Oh.
Yeah. She was beaten and strangled to death.
Jeez.
Sammy was known for keeping a lot of cash, like, on her purse, but also stashed in her room.
Okay, not a good thing to be known for.
Yeah.
Not a safe thing to be known for.
I mean, I don't know if it was necessarily she was known for it, or it was just common knowledge. Yeah. She also had, apparently, like, a really nice, expensive jewelry collection, too. Okay. So when her body was found, the cash in her purse was missing, and, you know, any cash in her room, making the motive appear to be robbery, but none of her jewelry was missing.
Okay.
So that obviously makes investigators believe that the robbery motive was really a cover.
Right.
Or a red herring. I just like using that phrase. And ultimately there were four suspects. Tom Miller, the mayor.
Ooh.
Jack Miller, the mayor's son.
Ooh.
Bert Owens, the sheriff's son.
Ooh.
And Leo Portillo, Sammy's best friend.
Okay. I still like this. I'd watch this movie.
All but her best friend were her clients and were all in love with her.
I think her best friend was probably in love with her, too.
Probably.
Like, strikingly beautiful male best friend. Okay.
But there was no, like, evidence that he was ever a client. Mm-hmm. Plus, I think she had a boyfriend. Yeah. So wait, we'll get to that in just a second.
Okay, I'm calling it. Her best friend was definitely secretly in love with her.
So with high-profile suspects like mayor's son, and sheriff's son, right. The whole robbery as a cover theory holds more water. And many people believe the sheriff's son to be guilty since he left town right after the murder.
Ooh, okay.
Except that might not be true.
Okay.
Because one source says the town believes it's the mayor's son,
okay.
But apparently both sons were like 20 years Sammy's junior, and both of whom lived in Jerome until at least 1940, so like they didn't leave town.
Right.
So it's confusing because some sources say they're sheriff's versus the mayor's son because the son left town, but it was like, no, they didn't. And like I said, she also may have had a boyfriend who seems to have never been questioned.
Wow. Good police work.
So the mystery remains unsolved to this day.
Okay.
However, the town of Jerome, I think there's a group that actually puts on a play of the event, including all of the potential suspects. So it's kind of like the movie Clue, where they show, like, this is how it could have happened, or it could have happened like this.
This is in Arizona?
Yes.
Okay, I'm putting that on our road trip list. I want to see that.
Jerome, Arizona.
Yes.
And so they allow the visitors to then, after the play, vote for who they think was the killer.
Best friend. That's my vote.
And the results are posted once a month in the town bulletin thing.
Nice! Oh my gosh. I wonder if we can find that online, because I want to know what the town's voting for this month.
So, I actually...
Okay.
Oh, no, sorry. No.
I thought you found it.
I had a little extra comment about how I'm like, I don't know how I feel about this, because it's an actual and tragic murder, and there's a real victim. Like, there's records, like, she's one of the few pictures I think I can find. However, I think it was more folklore-y and not as based in real truth. I would feel a little better about it. So, like,
I don't know. That's true. And like, I guess,
like Miss Rosie or something.
Yeah.
Then maybe. But at the same time, we don't have a ton of info on Rosie. Yeah. So, like, how could we have something? So,
there's definitely, like, three men who are innocent. So, like, yeah. I guess, that's problematic.
Yeah. But at the same time, like, it's still a fun game and whatever. Did you break my door?
Sorry. I did.
I'll fix it one time.
I know.
So, reports of paranormal activity in Husband's Alley include a female spirit roaming the night, spectral voices in empty inns and rooms, slamming doors, strange shadows, the feeling of being watched, phantom footsteps on cobblestones,
ooh,
and even the lingering scent of perfume.
Ooh. Is it called Husband's Alley? Because that's where husbands would go to.
I guess so. I didn't look in
prostitution.
I didn't look too deep into the whole area.
That's kind of a bummer.
But
as someone with a husband,
yeah,
who would not like him to go visit a prostitute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jerk. All right. Don't go visit a prostitute.
Jerk.
And really, don't have one come and visit you.
Yeah. I'm checking our bank accounts.
All right. So moving on to Bisbee, Arizona.
Ooh, Bisbee.
The Copper Queen Hotel was built in 1902 in Bisbee, Arizona, and is the oldest operational hotel in Arizona today.
Nice.
So while some of these hotels are still there, this one's actually there and open.
Okay, so we could stay at this one.
We could.
So after we visit Jerome and see the play, we could go spend the night.
Exactly. Okay. And while we're at the Copper Queen, we're going to need to look out for Miss Julia Lowell.
Okay. Is she a nice one?
We'll get into it. So there actually seem to be a couple of ghosts and different, you know, experiences or occurrences or whatnot, but a prostitute who worked there in the 20s and 30s, Miss Julia, is like by far the most famous. Okay. So poor Miss Julia fell in love with one of her clients, but he did not love her back.
Oh no.
Or maybe felt that she just wasn't marriage material. Whatever.
Whatever. You don't have to marry someone to love them.
And you don't have to love someone to marry them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so in her despair, she committed suicide in her room.
Oh.
I also want to note that in this particular source, the author referred to prostitution as a fallen angel industry.
Oh, God. Fallen angel industry.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Yep. So while I couldn't find a specific room, most of the paranormal activity reports come from the third and fourth floors.
Okay.
Some visitors have heard whispers or felt taps on their shoulders, while others have witnessed more unique occurrences like seeing keys levitate or witnessing doors locking and unlocking on their own.
Okay.
Most reports and all sightings are from male visitors.
Oh. Okay.
So men will often hear a female voice whispering in their ears.
So we got to bring Jerick along for our road trip.
So, and I know I said that the room wasn't specified. So, like, yes, it doesn't say specifically which her room is, but I'm going to assume it's probably room 315.
Okay.
Because that is where men will be woken up in the night to quite a show.
Oh!
They've reported seeing at the foot of their bed Miss Julia dancing seductively for them as she slowly fades away.
Uh-huh.
She's also been spotted on the grand staircase, looking like fully fleshed out, like a real person, like not see-through, you know, wearing very little clothing and clutching a bottle of booze.
Okay.
Sorry to disappoint. That was just me.
That was just Katie. Got out in the middle of the night.
Wandering around Bisbee here, so... all right, so moving on to Strawberry Point, Iowa.
Strawberry Point. That sounds nice. Iowa. I've never been there. I've never been to any of these places, so. But Iowa sounds nice. Iowa's one of those states that I've always imagined, like, if I'm ever going to, like, start over, which has been, like, you know, my depression fantasy sometimes of just, like, starting my life over. I've wanted to move to one of those states, like Iowa.
Shelton would tell you not to move to Iowa.
Why?
He's been to Iowa, and it's terrible. Also, well, his crazy ex-girlfriend is from Iowa.
Well, it's one of those kinds of states that I'm just like, where there's nothing there. The cost of living is probably low. I could just get a job and, like, get a small apartment or a small house and just, like, not have anyone bother me. Get a dog and, like, be by myself and not have to worry about anyone but me for a little while. Anyways, and meet some ghosts that you'll tell me about.
So, maybe, you know, you can stay at the Franklin Hotel while you're trying to find yourself in one of these Midwest to Western states.
Sure.
So, many people have visited the Franklin Hotel since the 1850s. Ooh. But many visitors today hope to see one of the hotel's most famous visitors, who never really checked out. Miss Lily was a prostitute who worked in room 7 of the hotel.
Okay, another first floor room.
And despite her infamy, it's not really known exactly how she died.
Okay.
Or at least it wasn't specified in the sources that I found. And perhaps that right there is one of the reasons her spirit's not at rest. visitors staying in room 7 have reported feeling a sad and uncomfortable presence and strange noises. No further clarification of strange. Okay. One of the other hotel's, other long-term guests, a man who had lived there for 42 years.
Oh my gosh.
Often heard singing and moaning in the room above him, even when it was unoccupied. Again, no clarification of what kind of moaning. Because, there's, ghostly moaning, and then there's, the other kind
there's
of moaning.
There's other kinds of moaning.
That prostitutes are known for. That's as
true.
Well.
Okay.
One of the hotel's co-owners, Doug Schmidt, and also big skeptic, was working late in the hotel one night when he saw a woman in a long lavender gown walking from the lobby to the dining room. He called out and told the woman that they were closed, but she kept walking into the next room, and when he, followed to catch up to her, she had completely vanished.
Nice.
No confirmation if this was Miss Lily, but Doug was absolutely certain of what he saw.
Nice.
So, that was the western portion.
Oh.
Let's go down to my hometown.
Ooh, NOLA.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
NOLA. All right. So, we're going to get into a little bit of history here about prostitution in New Orleans.
Okay.
So, as we know, New Orleans was settled by the French. Mm-hmm. But more specifically, settled by both French expeditioners, the folks that wanted to be there, and French people literally plucked from the streets, those that didn't want to be there. It's still a bit of a rough place to live, with quite the divide of the haves and the have-nots, but it was especially hard when it was mostly and entirely a swamp. A hot, humid, buggy swamp with no women.
Right.
So, slowly but surely, more women were brought to the city, and like with the male settlers, some were respectable, most were not.
Right. I remember our casket girls that came over.
So, as more settlers and sailors arrived in the port city, they would leave their ships on a mission to find two things. A meal and a woman.
Okay.
That's a quote from this source.
A meal.
And, this source also mentioned they could not attest to which order they accomplished those goals.
Does it matter?
I just thought it was funny. So, obviously, prostitution was a big thing in the city, but one thing I learned specifically about my hometown was that once upon a time, there were prostitution districts.
Ooh. Okay.
It's weird they don't teach you that in Catholic school.
Oh, that's weird.
So, Gallatin Street was one of the earliest vice districts, and it was said if you could make it on Gallatin, you could make it anywhere.
Like, as a prostitute, if you could make it.
No, you could, walk down Gallatin and survive.
I was thinking they were telling prostitutes, if you could make it on Gallatin Street, you could make it anywhere.
I think that was literally anybody, prostitutes. Yeah. Specifically, Mary Jane Bricktop Jackson.
Bricktop?
It's her nickname.
Oh no, who gave her that nickname?
Maybe herself, because she and Bridget Feary were two well-known ladies of the night. The source said that you didn't want to cross them if you, quote, wanted to keep your body in one piece and not be bludgeoned by an axe. So yeah, good old Bricktop might have come up with that name for herself.
Bricktop. I love that. Bricktop. Wait, was she a prostitute?
Mm-hmm.
Bricktop.
I
can't.
No idea. There was no further info on that.
I'm just trying to figure out if she's referring to, like, a body part or...
I'm thinking maybe, like, hard-headedness.
Hard-headed. But she's obviously carrying an axe around. Or nearby, keeping one nearby.
Who knows? I mean, it's tough. And so, yeah, after Gallatin kind of got swept up, Smoky Row was another district that popped up. It was probably just as dangerous and as bad as Gallatin Street, especially since police would actually refuse to patrol there because they were harassed and attacked, by the working girls. In fact, some of the girls would straight up snatch men off the street, drag them back to their dens or cribs or whatever, and relieve them of their money. And in the rare instances the police did investigate, bodies were never found. So, like, not only did they straight up snatch the men off the street, they didn't just rob them. I think a lot of times they straight up murdered them.
And then just...
So this is a nice little... them?
Like, what?
I mean, it's not hard to ditch a body in swampy North.
Yeah,
there's a giant river.
And there's alligators, right?
Like, blocks away from where this was.
Don't alligators...
Because this is all in the French Quarter.
Okay.
Alligators would
take care of it.
Yep.
So these...
Also, police wouldn't even patrol. I don't think their investigations were that in-depth.
Yeah. So you don't even have to, like, be a prostitute. Like, you don't even have to be engaging in, like, actual sex work. You can just be a serial killer who is abducting people off the street, taking their money, killing them, and then throwing them in the swamp.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I mean, I'm not...
It was a lot easier to get away with murder back in the day.
I should be supportive of that, but I might research it and see if there's a story there for later.
Probably.
Because...
Okay. So, yeah. I mean, like, I'm talking, like, too. Like, when I say they were investigated, I'm probably using that term loosely. Like, they probably didn't even go inside.
Yeah, maybe not.
Because,
on the door.
Like, these were not full-fledged brothels here.
Right.
It was, like, lean-tos.
Oh, gosh.
And, like, barely enough room to, like, stand up and turn around in. Like, basically, there was enough room to do what needed to be done to get their rocks off. And I think it was on Smoky Row, too, that it's like, you know, 10 or 20 cents, 10 if you don't mind getting it on outside in the street.
Ugh.
Yeah.
So many diseases. Mm.
So all of the chaos and crime of these areas led to the creation of a sanctioned red light district called Storyville.
Okay.
And my childhood Storyville is very different. Storyville is it's an actual area, and there's also a section of City Park called Storyville, and it's a children's park where they've got, like, there's, like, this giant whale, and it's, like, the Jonah and the whale story, and then there's...
Which is a terrifying, like, story for children.
Yeah, and it's, you know, there's, like, a big whale that kids can, like, play on and, like, run in and around, and there's all sorts of other things, like the old woman who lived in a shoe, kind of, stuff like that.
So there's a... There's a Storyville for children, but then there's a Storyville that's...
For adults. But the Storyville that we know today was, like, reclaiming, I guess, the history. Anyway, I didn't get... I was like, I don't have time to go down this rabbit hole. So, anywho, we're going to go into Storyville and hear about Miss Josie Arlington.
Okay.
So, after being orphaned at the age of 4... And a hard knock life in New Orleans, Miss Josie Arlington turned to prostitution in her teens.
Okay.
She became known for being violent and aggressive. Okay. And so when I first read this, my mind went straight to dominatrix.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
Thinking that was in reference to, like, what she was known for for her clientele. However, the next sentence read that she had reportedly bitten off the ears and lips of a fellow prostitute.
Oh, of a fellow prostitute, not of a...
Competition.
Client. Oh. Ears and lips. Like, both ears and lips.
It said ears, plural.
Wow. That's, that, I feel like, is not done in a fight. That is, like, the person is down and you are... You're just removing pieces of them for... Okay. All right. What's her name?
Josie.
Josie. Okay, Josie. Are you... do so, what you need to do.
Miss Josie was tired of life epically sucking to the point where I guess she had to bite off body parts of other people to survive. And so she decided the hell with that, you know, master of her own fate, all that jazz. And she turned her life around, you know.
Okay.
She's made some changes, I guess. And she actually built the finest bordello in the city and catered to the wealthy and elite, becoming very wealthy herself.
Dang. Okay, Josie.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet people did not mess with her.
Despite her wealth and success, she was never fully accepted by the upper crust of society. Oh,
fuck. Well, because there's some lady walking around without ears and a mouth. It's like, don't go there. Bad-mouthing her.
Yeah. And so it was this acceptance that she desperately craved.
Yeah.
Okay. And so she kind of got the last laugh by being buried in one of the more expensive tombs in Metairie Cemetery after her death in 1914. And so, you know, if she couldn't join the elite in life, she'd join them in death.
Love that.
However, her tomb became a hotbed of paranormal activity, including apparitions at the tomb, itself bursting into flames.
Oh, what? Fuck!
Urns in the tomb glowing red, and probably most notably, a statue that, like a bronze statue, sat outside the tomb would actually move by itself.
Oh.
Because the flaming tomb, as it was dubbed, garnered so much notoriety and became a popular spot for tourists and such, her body was actually exhumed and relocated elsewhere in the cemetery to an unmarked grave.
Aww. Josie.
And so that's why I said she kind of got the last laugh. Because she's still in the same area. It's just not in her fancy pants resting place anymore.
Did the paranormal activity stop when she moved?
Gravediggers continue to report that the statue still is moving from its original position to this day.
Gravediggers, like official gravediggers. Yeah. Okay, sorry. I was thinking like grave robbers.
No. Different
Sorry.
Cemetery workers.
Yeah.
I was just tired of typing the word cemetery over and over again. Sense.
Okay. Okay. You know, I did see a thing on one of the shows that was like it was like fact or faked where they go and like investigate paranormal videos or something to see if they're actually real. And one of them was of like a statue, like a Egyptian statue in a museum, and there's video footage where you can see throughout the day, like time-lapse footage, it's like rotating. So it's, you can't see it, like it happens kind of slowly throughout the day, but like by the end of the day, it's facing another. Anyways, they figured out that it was vibrations from the traffic that was causing it to kind of turn slowly. And so I kind of wonder if it's not turning, like, if they're not seeing it turn, or, like, if it's just kind of slowly...
The way it was written in the source kind of implied that you could stand there and watch it move on its own.
Yeah.
But it also implied, like, its action today implied... It also kind of... I read it as... It actually moved location, not just turning from one direction to another, but it actually, like... It was here, and then it was over there. And so it wasn't clear what kind of movement it was doing on its own or how significant that movement was. So it implied to me it was both. It was like it faced this way, and now it was facing that way. Right. Or it was here, and now it's 2 feet over there.
Okay. Well,
anything. So, and there is... a lot more to be said about prostitution and famous prostitutes and bordellos in New Orleans, and there was like so much research. I was like, I gotta cut this down. Like, this is a story all on its own.
Yeah.
So I've got two more for you.
Okay. Are they both in New Orleans?
No, we're done with New Orleans. Like I said, it was both too much and not enough information.
Yeah.
So we're gonna actually go back out to California because I forgot to move this around when I was reorganizing.
Okay.
we're going to the Glen Tavern Inn in Santa Paula, California.
Okay.
Which has played host to many celebrities since the 1910s. But the most famous ones are the ones that are still there. In breaking with the theme for just a moment,
okay.
Many stories from this hotel include a young girl with braids who wanders the rooms of the guests who assume that she's a lost child.
Ugh. Mm-hmm. Gross.
Contractors working in the inn have also reportedly fled the grounds after seeing children playing in the hallways and then disappearing into the walls.
Oh, no!
And,
I would also flee if I was a contractor and saw a child walk into a wall.
Like, that's... If nothing else, the walls clearly are not stable yeah. and should not be trusted, and I want to get out of this structure.
Contractors make enough money, they can just go work on something else.
So, and it's, Rooms 218, 306, and 307 are supposedly the most haunted rooms in the hotel. It's said that deadbolts in these rooms often lock on their own, and of these three, room 307 is the star.
Okay.
Because it was in this room a prostitute was murdered and beheaded.
Oh!
Her body was discovered stuffed in a closet by a maid several days later. It was discovered by the maid several days later.
Jeez.
Stuffed in the closet by the murderer.
Jeez.
Want to make sure that was clear.
Yeah.
And cold chills, knocking sounds, echoing voices, and an eerie mist are the most commonly reported occurrences.
Okay. If I knew that a beheaded person of any kind was ever in that room, I would never consent to staying in the room, ever. Like, regardless of whether you told me there had ever been ghostly activity, I'd be like, well, there's probably gonna be at some point. And also, a headless person was in this room. No, thank you. That's horrifying. Did they find her head? Was it in the closet with her?
I believe it was.
Okay, good. I'm just making sure.
But, you know, she was unidentified and all of that, too.
Hate that.
Yeah.
This is terrible.
So. That's the most I've got out of that one. I think there might be a little more out there, but that one was definitely most folklore-y.
Do you think that they tell people?
I really enjoyed the little bit about the little girl with braids wandering around. Like, yeah. She would just wander into rooms.
That would also scare me. Yeah. Also, like, when children just show up where they're not supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's already kind of weird.
Like, can you imagine being in your room and you're, like, slowly getting ready to go out to dinner and you just turn and there's a small child in your room and you're like,
how did you get in here?
How did you get in here and who are you? Please go away.
Terrifying. But do you think, like, when, like, do people know going there that that it's haunted and, or do you think that, like, do you think if someone's getting assigned that room, that reception has to say, like, by the way, this room has a lot of ghostly activity?
I bet they do it for a tourism thing.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm sure there's plenty of people that'll go to these hotels not knowing or expecting any kind of paranormal activity. But I'm sure that, there probably is, you know, like, I'm sure the people at reception are so used to people specifically going there for ghosty reasons that they automatically mention it.
I can't imagine having to tell someone, though, like, because my first question would be like, oh, what happened? Why is there a ghost? And, like, and being like, oh, a prostitute was murdered there. She got her head. Like, she was beheaded and they found her in the closet. You're like, okay, cool. Maybe not that one. Do you have a lighter haunting? Do you have a room where there's some lighter haunting where someone wasn't murdered in such a horrific way?
How about 218 or 306? Those are our other mostly haunted rooms. Yeah. But no dead bodies in there.
Of those. Thank you.
All right. Well, enjoy your door jangling.
Thank you.
Oh, and look out for the little girl with the braids.
Yeah,
She might just wander into your room.
Yeah,
you don't know.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'll call the front desk if that happens. They're like, we can't do anything about it.
All right. So that's all I've got for the states.
Okay.
I do have one more story for you.
Where are we going? We're not going.
Okay. We're going all the way over to Zimbabwe.
Oh, okay.
Random.
My little small-minded self. I was like, well, where are we going? We're not in the States.
Zimbabwe,
okay.
There is a prostitute named Peggy.
Oh, well, okay.
The ghost of a prostitute named Peggy.
And Peggy.
Peggy was a well-known prostitute in Highfield, a suburb of Harare. And while in her late 20s, the beautiful Peggy was murdered by a jealous client. Her brutal murder has caused her troubled spirit to roam the dark roads, especially near nightclubs, hitchhiking past midnight. Poor girl, even in death, she's still working the streets.
I know. Also, y'all gotta stop murdering people over... it's her job to sleep with people! You can't be jealous about that.
You don't have to wear that dress tonight. So when men pick her up when she's hitchhiking, she does one of two things. One, she takes a page out of a previous ghost, I think, that we've talked about. She'll get in the car and then mysteriously vanish.
Love it.
Completely freaking the driver out. or two, my favorite, the driver will wake up the next morning at the cemetery where she was presumably buried.
Ooh.
And I believe some wake up parked at the cemetery, but there are a couple of accounts of people waking up literally on a grave.
Love it. I say I love it. Like, they did something wrong in picking her up, but like...
Yeah, no. However, this is the one that, like, they're even like, there's no records of Peggy. Like, this is literally just folklore invented by people to discourage hitchhiking or picking up hitchhikers.
Yeah, I get that, but still, Peggy.
Yep.
Love that. Not the name I was expecting, but...
Right?
Going for it.
I was like, okay.
Peggy, all right, Peggy.
Peggy from Zimbabwe.
Peggy from Zimbabwe. We'll take it.
So... Yeah,
that's good.
Some ghostly prostitutes. There's a couple of different hotels that you can either actually go stay in, because several of them are still operational, or you can just go do tours of and say hi to some of the ladies, the fallen angels.
The fallen angels. I forgot about that. I think I want to do a tour first, because I'm a scaredy cat. I really am too scared. I don't know. I'll do... Ooh.
Well, I feel like anytime I stay in a hotel, I'm always hearing doors slamming at any hour of the night.
Well, that's because there's other people staying there slamming doors.
Yeah.
But I don't know. But, well, and then I have a husband that, like, immediately falls asleep. And then today, oh my gosh, I woke up this morning, and for the first time ever in almost 7 years, I woke up and... Jerk was not in bed beside me. I was like, oh my God, where is he? He had moved into the guest room. And I was like, that's my move. What are you doing? And I went and woke him up. I was like, why are you in here? Was I snoring? Like, what's, I'm like, you know, I've got some nasal stuff going on. And I woke him up. I was like, why did you move in here? He said, how'd I get in here? I was like, I don't know. When did you move?
He said, I don't remember. Jerk thing to do.
He said, I don't remember. I was like, okay, well, at some point in the night, he got up and relocated, which would be my luck when we're staying at a haunted hotel. He'd either fall into the deepest sleep he's ever been into, or he'd get up in the middle of the night and leave.
I feel like, was it Miss Julia who only, it's Miss Julia who only appears to men.
Right.
Like I said, I think, like, women will hear doors, you know, jangling or see things fall off the shelf.
Yeah.
But there were stories of, like, a man, like, one man said that he was, I think, in the bathroom. They were getting ready to go out to dinner. No, they were checking in. And he went out to, like, have a smoke or something while his wife finished checking in the lobby. And he heard someone, like, calling his name. It was a woman's voice. And... he couldn't see anybody, so went back in. He's like, hey, were you hollering for me? And she's like, no. And then later, they were in their room, and he heard a woman's voice whispering in his ear.
Ooh.
And, again, his wife was like, I wasn't saying anything. So, yeah, it's only men that she, you know, will speak to or, again, appear for. So I feel like she would, I feel like if Jarek was there, she would talk to Jarek.
Good. Maybe she'd keep him up.
I feel like maybe she would probably wake up, see her dancing at the foot of the bed and be like, what?
Maybe she'd
Hannah,
do me.
Hannah, maybe she'd singing this.
Maybe she'd do me a solid and like wake him up every time he started snoring. Because that's what I do when he falls asleep before me and he's snoring. I have to be like,
you need to knock that off.
Roll over. Or if I do it enough times, I'm just like, breathe normal. Close your mouth. Figure out something else.
So. Oh, man. I was really worried the other night. Shelton was, like, snoring funny. And so his dad and his sister, and I think actually now his brother was recently tested, and they all have sleep apnea. And I'm guessing it's hereditary. So he was doing this weird snoring thing. It was like, it wasn't full on, you know, like, it was almost like his breath was catching, like he was... And I was like, what? Googling, what does sleep apnea sound like?
Time to go in for that sleep study.
Like, no, he's fine. He's just snoring weird. Yeah.
Wow. Fun times being married.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was good. Thanks, her.
I've been sitting on that one for a while.
Well, I'm glad. I texted Katie literally, what, 3 or 4 days ago?
It was like Wednesday.
Wednesday or Thursday. Anyways. Anyways, thanks for...
Oh, man, do I have to do socials, too? That's your job for this episode.
I can try and do socials. All right, so, shoot.
Okay. I'll do them.
Okay. I just don't know. You can start me off and...
I'm going to try and find some photos, but there might be a couple. But photos or whatever content for any and all of our episodes can be found on our Instagram and Facebook at The Tales We Tell Podcast. If you want to see things... But don't do the social media. You should check out our website, thetaleswetellpodcast.com. That's also an easy way to contact us, too. And if you want some sweet, sweet swag, like this baller sweatshirt that Hannah is supporting right now, it's our Sasquatch, not built for beauty or speed, you should check out our Redbubble store. You can get our two new Sasquatch-themed logos on pretty much anything. Yep. So it's redbubble.com, search The Tales We Tell. And if you want to support us but don't need the stuff, you can head over to, you can become a patron at patreon.com/thetaleswetell. You get early access, commercial-free listening, bonus content, some stickers, love notes, and yeah.
Yeah. Also, I realized that I didn't update, like, listeners on this, but if anyone was listening far enough back to listen to our Haunted Paintings episode... I stupidly printed one of the haunted paintings and hung it up in our studio as a joke.
Hung it facing me because it was the one that freaked me out the most.
Yep. Anyways, it has now been destroyed because it fell off the wall and stuff was freaking me out. And also, we recently had our house saged by a friend of ours because I was not certain that everything was clear. So, yeah, be careful about stuff like that. And on that same note, just because he mentioned that it would be cool if we had sent that to a listener, and I was like, no, I'm not going to put that on someone else. We still owe Josh a prize for guessing the Easter egg for your...
Oh, yeah.
I know. He pointed that out, and I was like, oh, crap, we haven't sent anything yet. So,
we can do that.
Yeah. Josh, something is in the mail for you, hopefully by the time you hear this. If not, it's coming. I'm trying to think of something creative. I don't just want to send you something boring, so...
Yeah.
You'll get something cool, and sorry that that's delayed, and also sorry that everyone has to listen to my voice like this, but hopefully by next Sunday or Thursday, whenever we record, it will be better. The episode will be very dark, and I'm sorry for that.
Well, this was fun for a palate cleanser.
Yeah, enjoy it while it lasts. Yeah. But we'll see everyone next week. Bye!